how to go about doing it. He would talk to the Department of Works, because they were virtually all associated with the Commonwealth Department of Works. He would work out with them what you ought to do in terms of site inspection or when their officers might be required to guide people around the site. You need to talk to the people, the department for whom the work was being performed. You'd need to talk to them about how to go about it, and where you would go, and how you get there, and that sort of thing.
Mm. So you're really, you were based here in Canberra doing when Parliament sat, and but the other periods you might be anywhere.
Well, there was one year when a lot of travelling, and I reckon that I travelled something between 20,000 and 25,000 miles by year during that time. But that was an exception. I suppose I spent more than three quarters of my time here in Canberra, and probably 80%, 85% of my time here.
So doing a normal working day, mundane things as perhaps having a break, lunch breaks, and cups of tea or whatever. Where did you have that? Was it on the job, or did you use the parliamentary facilities for that?
Well, if the committee was sitting and we were just considering a project, for example, I might get the refreshment rooms to bring in tea and biscuits for, say, morning tea or whatever like that. Ordinarily, I would I'd just have a cup of tea at the desk, something of that sort. Yeah. Mm.
You were a one-man band within the secretariat, effectively for the committee. Did you associate with other members of staff who worked in the building?
Well, just go back to that initial point. As the project, the number of projects increased, I had to make arrangements from time to time for supplementary staff, and in this respect the House of Reps was very useful, and it provided first of all Don Piper, who had been Sergeant at Arms, I think, at one stage, to help, particularly during the period when the new terminal buildings and the expansion of the terminals at Sydney and Melbourne were being considered, and particularly in Melbourne when Essendon particularly when Tullamarine was being developed. That was a completely new project. There were other times when Sydney was being increased in size, and the new international terminal was being built, and the main runway was being extended into Botany Bay. That was a very busy time. But later on, I succeeded in having a position created of clerk, I suppose, as to assist, and the management of the committee was increased to include him. But that was about the extent of the staffing arrangements. The Department of Works was able to help at one stage. The post office was also of assistance at one stage, provided a man to help write a report or reports. Remembering that in 1972 we tabled a record number of reports. I mean, some 35 reports dealt with in that year, and that was an election year which was only 10 months long. So.
Mm. What sort of were you working hours when you were? Was your day When did you start your work day?
On a non-sitting day, it would be 9 o'clock to 4 o'clock, providing you had completed your day's work in that time. Other days, on sitting days, the hours might extend to, you might start a bit earlier, and also depending on whether the chairman wanted a game of golf before we started. I generally speak work to 9 o'clock at night.
Were you paid overtime?
No. The arrangements for my particular position and salary level, I had 6 weeks leave a year. I had a bonus of 3 weeks in those days. And later on, when I, and other later committees, it was 4 weeks. So I had 6 weeks leave a year, or 8 weeks leave a year in the later days. Mm. Yeah. But the hours were quite flexible.
Mm. Where was your office?
The office initially was in room L11 on the lower floor on the Senate side on the front of the building. And that was, to me, was a bonus because there were times at weekends when you were wanting to get work completed to enable a report to be tabled in the next week or thereabouts or something of that sort. I had outside access to my office off the veranda, just in front of that the big holly bush.
Mm-hmm. From your description of the working hours, there must have been some impact on your social and family life with so much travel and such irregular hours.
Oh yes, it varied, of course. In non-working, non-sitting weeks, I didn't hesitate about taking an hour or two off if the family required it. By and large, the family were most cooperative, but remember that in those days, sitting days were only 3 days a week, as a rule, in sitting weeks. Didn't often happen that the Parliament sat on Fridays or Mondays.
What parts of the building did you normally use sort of on an everyday basis?
Well, by and large, the building was, the whole of the building was accessible to me, except the members' dining room, the members' bar, or the area around the cabinet room and the Prime Minister's office. I wouldn't come down that corridor as a rule. If I needed access to the dining room, staff dining room, I'd go around on the opposition side corridors. I used the library quite frequently. I used the non-members bar occasionally, and certainly the non-members dining room. And I needed to, from time to time, to liaise with House of Reps table office staff about the tabling reports, and those people were accessible to me quite reasonably. Not that I needed to very much, but I had access to King's Hall and all of that area.
Where did the actual committee have its meetings?
Well, L11 was the committee room. It had a table for a dozen people. It was a large round table, which we later disposed of and bought a rectangular table, which was a little bit more economical in its use of the space that was available. My desk was in the corner of the room, and the stenographer was in the a very small room which you came through as you came off the corridor. Later on, in 1971 and 72, when the centre side of the building was being redeveloped to provide the large committee room on the corner, and I was moved to an office along the new wing on the Senate side, and we used a new committee room set up on the back of the building. I couldn't, on the lower floor, I couldn't tell you the number of the room, but it was we used that for committee purposes. We also used some of the Senate committee room space too.
What sort of interaction did you have with staff from other sections of Parliament House?
Well, I needed to, from time to time, talk to particularly the House of Reps table staff, and that was always a cordial arrangement. They were most cooperative. Had less to do with the Senate staff, although I knew most of them very well anyway, from days before I came here. I had a lot to do with the parliamentary reporting staff, Hansard, because when we were holding public hearings outside of Canberra, they needed to be in attendance to take the transcript of the public hearings. They always produced that in a very willing way, and they were always seemed to be glad to travel outside of Canberra. A different experience.
Mm. Yes, that's a point I'd like to come back to later on, that particular the area there. Did you have any contact with your colleagues outside work? Or colleagues or people you had dealings with, or perhaps those you knew from the past?
Not a great deal. Although, as I said earlier, I had quite a lot to do with the Department of Works. The liaison there, initially I don't recall his name, but probably from about 1965 on, my main contact in the Department of Works was a fellow by the name of John Gunn. Now, John Gunn, he was initially located in Melbourne in the head office of the Department of Works in Hawthorne. When the head office was transferred to Canberra in the middle 70s, he came up here with them. In the retirement village that I'm in at the moment, he occupies the next unit but one on the top floor at Farrer. Yes. He's a good friend. Yeah. And you couldn't make any enemies in my job, because you needed cooperation all the way around for the system to work. And by and large, those arrangements worked extremely well. I had some very good friends in the post office. Every time we had to go to the Northern Territory, they turned it on for us. They made all the arrangements that were required. I'd had a most cooperative experience with Department of Works on the one hand, particularly Department of Civil Aviation, Post Office, the Northern Territory Administration. They all seemed to work very well from my point of view, and it's sad in many ways that I left the PwC, but I did have 8 years, so.
So your contacts were really mainly with departments and areas outside Old Parliament House, not so much with the people within the house,
Well, the associations that I had with Hansard, for example, worked extremely well, and they had to. I mean, it's a I couldn't have been better served by Hansard. They were always cooperative.
Any people that stand, any of them that stood out, sort of people that you might have, got known socially as well?
Yes, Bernie Harris was one who became, in his post-retirement days, became president of the Royal Canberra Golf Club, which I was a member. Yeah, that sort of thing. No, it's a, and I see Bob Thompson from time to time. He lived very close to us when I was married. We lived in Griffith, and his family were attended the same school as my children. See them from time to time. It's a, I see Don Piper, whose name I mentioned earlier, at the gym every now and again. He was there yesterday. No, I've had I think a very happy association with those people, and you see some of them from time to time.
Was there, perhaps a bit on that, was there ever a social club operating within Old Parliament House that you were aware of or associated with?
Not that I'm aware of. I think they had the various departments. I think House of Reps, for example. I think they had social occasions from time to time, but it wasn't an association that I seem to remember a great deal about. And certainly in my, as PwC, I was just divorced from that because in those days we were part of Joint House Department, which was largely concerned with servicing the building, the refreshment rooms, the engineering services, and that sort of thing.
Were you ever in a member of a union?
Yeah, I belonged to the Australia, the Administrative and Clerical Officers Association from the time I joined the public service until I had a disagreement with them at one stage in the 1970s, I suppose it was, about some of their social policies, what a union would have to do with the rights and wrongs of abortion, I'll never know. But I didn't want to find out, so I resigned.
So were you ever, when you, while you were a member, were you ever part of any industrial campaign?
No. They weren't that, it wasn't that sort of an organisation.
Now, you've already mentioned that when Parliament wasn't sitting, the committee often spent a lot of time travelling around the country and doing on various inquiries. What sort of proportion of of time would you have spent away from Canberra on, with the committee?
Oh, well, if it was a depended on the nature of the beast. If it was a fairly simple, say, a telephone exchange, it might be just a couple of days away. But if it was a large project like a international aviation terminal, might be two or three or four. You might take it in two steps, depending on the nature of the witnesses and so on. It's a, and if you're going to the Northern Territory, in my early days there, it was a full day's travel to get there and a full day's travel to get back, so it might be 4 days. And my first trip to Darwin was the day. I had to go to Sydney the night before. We picked up an early plane from Sydney to Brisbane. then Brisbane to Mount Isa, and then arrived in Darwin about 4 o'clock. You know, it was that sort of experience.
So it's from the sound of it, you must have spent at least several months of the year in total, perhaps away from Canberra? Or?
Oh, certainly a month, depended on the intensity of the work too. Not all years were as intensive as the last, that 1972 experience, which was largely a product of a bit of legislation that needed changing to obviate the reference of minor jobs to the committee.
So when the Public Works Committee was not sitting and Parliament wasn't sitting, what did you do here then?
I was in the business of writing reports.
So you took the breaks where effectively your report writing time?
Oh, yes, but I can remember being here on Sundays writing reports. Some of the reports were simple, some of them were quite complicated. You couldn't predict from one year's end to the other what your working life would be during that year. I enjoyed the travelling part of it. At times it became a bit trying, particularly from a family point of view. But by and large, suffered it. They put up with it, and my wife was most cooperative. From her point of view, our association with the Public Works Committee could be quite social. We'd had them to a social occasion at home from time to time, and we enjoyed that. It became a full life experience. It was, yes.
Okay, we might take perhaps a short break here before we go on to the next series of matters, if you don't mind.
Not at all.
So we'll take a short break. Well, I'd like to ask you to tell us a little bit about the committee structure as it was here at Old Parliament House when you arrived in 1964, and later, and any increase in numbers and functions of committees over the years that you were here.
When I first arrived, there was no such thing as a committee structure. There were the two statutory committees who were administered, serviced by the Joint House Department. There were the regulation committees within each of the two houses, dealing with orders and their own internal affairs. Occasionally, one of the houses would appoint a special committee as following pressure from whoever, maybe from the bureaucracy or maybe within the party itself. But they were the exception. There weren't very, very many of those at all. The one committee that I do remember had some continuity was the Joint Committee on the Australian Capital Territory. But that really was to deal with the matters which might have arisen during the days when there was there was only an advisory council to advise the Minister for the Interior on the administration of the territory. And it was a means by which the Canberra populace could raise matters. They weren't particularly active. There were those special committees, like, for example, in 1963, I think it was, there was a special committee appointed within the House of Representatives to deal with the conditions of the Yirrkala people. The Yirrkala people were a Aboriginal community in Arnhem Land, which apparently the conditions there had been brought to the notice of the Parliament, and they appointed a special committee then to examine those conditions. I knew about it because later on, when I became the Secretary of the Aboriginal Affairs Committee in the early 70s, one of our projects was to examine the present conditions then of the Yirrkala people, see whether there was any change between the earlier report in 1963 and 10 years later.
So there were only the two statutory committees that were really continuing committees at the time when you arrived in 1964?
Yes, that's right. They were established by Acts of Parliament, and their method of operation their method of operation was really governed by each of their legislation. In the case of the Public Work Committee, the requirement for the Commonwealth was to have referred to the committee works which were below a certain financial sum of money. And in 1964, when I arrived, I think the sum was £750. We had that change, I think it was by legislation, in 1968 or 1969 to upgrade it to take account of the increase in values. And the report of the general report of the committee in 1960, table in 1963, dealing with the activity of the committee in 1960, start again. The report of the committee in 1973, which was tabled in the early days of the Whitlam government, dealt with the matters which were considered by the committee during 1972. And during that year, a record number of references were made to the committee, 35 in all, and they were reported on in that year. Now, that was a massive effort on the part of the committee and the secretariat. I believe that in 1973, the sum provided in the Public Works Committee Act was changed to take account of that.
So did I understand it correctly that the committee had to consider all public works with a value less than?
No, more than.
More than. No.
More than.
Yes. I thought that was... So more than a certain amount of a number of pounds or dollar value.
Yeah, there was no committee structure as such until the early days of the Whitlam government and the actions of Lionel Murphy, Senator Lionel Murphy, setting up a committee, giving committees and their establishment a very important focus. He believed very much in the worth of committees to the Parliament, and he was instrumental in creating in 1973. There was an Aboriginal Affairs Committee, there was an Environment Committee, and I think later on there was a Road Safety Committee. There was an Expenditure Committee which supplemented the work of the Public Accounts Committee. They worked down a different track, and those were in the House of Representatives, and there were similar committees set up within the Senate at the same, pretty much the same time.
So were they set up as statutory committees or ad hoc committees?
No, they were set up as ad hoc committees, but they were all subject to the approval, of course, of the various houses.
So between or up until that time, were there basically just still the two main statutory committees and occasionally ad hoc committees operating within
Until 1972, yes.
What was the, this must have impacted on work in many ways, perhaps also on the work of your of the Public Works Committee and other committees that you were associated with. What did you have reflections did you make over this expansion? Was it supported, or did were there other issues that came up that reservations about what was happening?
I think the members themselves supported the idea, and it gave them an avenue to, other than sittings of Parliament in Canberra, to participate in the activities of Parliament. And I think they embraced the idea of the extended committee structure very willingly.
What about you?
Well, staff were employed to, outside staff were employed to service the committees. At a later time, I became involved in, as I said, in the Aboriginal Affairs Committee. I was secretary of that initially, 73 to 74, and 74 to 77, I was secretary of the Environment Committee, Environment Conservation Committee. It was a different role. And subsequent to that, I was appointed as the Senior Parliamentary Officer Committees, supervising the work of all the House of Reps committees. That was a fairly busy job, because there were four or five committees. There was the Aboriginal Affairs, Environment, Road Safety, Environment Conservation, Expenditure Committee. I think that's about it. But just keeping them and there was the ACT committee, which was our joint committee. That continued, and that was a fairly busy committee one way or another, dealing with matters approaching self-government. Self-government was 10 years away, but nonetheless there were a lot of matters on which there were quite vocal views expressed in the Canberra community and raised through the committee, and chair people like John, the Senator who died, Senator John, Margaret Reid. Margaret Reid was a chairman. I serviced the committee on a part-time basis at one stage, and Margaret Reid was chairman.
So when you started out the from in 1964, I mean, you were attached specifically to and only to the Public Works Committee.
Yes.
And later, with a large expansion in committees, where was there a difference in that? Where staff appointed to individual committees or to a committee secretariat?
I finished my association with the Public Works Committee at the end of 1972, and I accepted a promotion in the Prime Minister's Department, and I was there during the first 9 months of the Whitlam era, and it was a very busy area that I was working in because of the innovations of the Whitlam government. I had to do with the correction, if you like, of the administrative arrangements orders by which the various departments operated. It was a very busy time because you will remember that initially the Whitlam cabinet had two members. Subsequently, it was gradually extended until it reached its ultimate form at about the middle of 1973. And every time there was a change in the Prime Minister's Department where I was, we had to arrange the acceptance of a different set of administrative arrangement orders. It was a very busy time. I applied for a promotion back in the House of Reps. They wanted committee staff to service the new committees, and I applied for a job back in the department and was accepted. And my first promotion, my first appointment was the Secretary of the Aboriginal Affairs Committee. It's interesting, perhaps just mentioning that at that particular time, the committee staff were located outside of Parliament House. Initially, we occupied space, available space in West Block, and the Aboriginal Affairs Committee was located there for 3 or 4 months. Probably towards the end of 1973, the old Hotel Canberra, the lease to the brewer, it might have been Tuohy's or Tooth, I'm not sure, they relinquished that, and the Parliament took over the old Hotel Canberra as an outpost of Parliament. And in that building, as it was then, was located the House of Reps committee staff, the Senate committee staff, the an outreach of the library, and in effect the whole of the building was used by the expanded